Welcome to today's Higher Ed Tech Podcast. I'm Tim Van Norman, the instructional technologist here at Irvine Valley College.
And I'm Brent Warner, professor of ESL here at IVC. We both enjoy integrating technology into the classroom, which is what this show is all about. So today we're going to be talking about Canvas's calendar, and we're going to be continuing on our series about quizzing. And today we're going to be talking about Quizlet.
Welcome. We're glad you're here with us.
Yes, indeed. So, Tim, what's new?
Well, all kinds of fun stuff, but we just dropped an episode today. As everybody knows, we record and keep one in the can, at least.
Try, yeah.
I try to, anyway. But we dropped an episode today, and you were telling me about a Twitter tweet back that you got when you announced it or something?
Yeah, so we recorded we dropped episode 7, and that came out today, and we're recording now for 9, but the tweet that I sent out was just something along the lines of, you know, do you know any teachers who keep calling the wrong person for the wrong kind of help? And in that episode, we talked about what your role is and how people should be interacting with you as an instructional technologist. And so a teacher that I interact with sometimes on Twitter, Daya Mudra, and she's at SF Daya, D-A-Y-A. She just responded with a hashtag, not your secretary.
Ooh, I like it.
Yeah, so you make sure you can throw that one back as I don't think you would do this, but maybe if someone sends you an email that's inappropriate, you can just send them that hashtag back.
It may come back to you, Brent.
Okay, well, yeah, I'm not going to take any responsibility for that one, but thanks, Daya. All right, so today we're going to talk about Canvas's calendar. And we've been talking about a lot of different features inside of Canvas, but we haven't talked about calendar. Now, Tim, I know that a lot of teachers kind of use this as their main way of organizing their work. And I do not do this at all. In fact, I never open calendar. And that might be to my detriment. So I'm willing to keep my mind open about how I organize my thinking. But what's going on? What's up with calendar, and why do we want to use it?
So Canvas has this feature called calendar. It's automatically set up on everybody's account. So what that means is when you turn on your class, you assign something. Anytime you put in a due date, it automatically shows up on the student's calendar. Mm-hmm. So I like to use it from the perspective of when it allows the students to be the adult. So when they go home on the weekend, at night, whatever, they can look at their calendar, see what they've got due the next day, the next week, however often it is, and decide for themselves whether they're going to play video games or they're going to work on homework.
Mm-hmm. But, which one do you think they're going to decide?
Well, hopefully they're being smart about it, but, you know.
Actually, I should give a shout out to my students this semester because they are rocking it and they're really doing all their work. So
excellent. And that's what we really want. In the end, part of the education is teaching them how to be good citizens, mm-hmm. and adults and making good choices. And this allows that to happen a lot better. So calendar is set up automatically every time you put a due date in, every time you assign anything. There's a bunch of other parts to it that we're going to talk about in a minute, but it's automatic for you. So you don't have to create a whole lot of extra work to make the calendar work.
Okay, so it just happens automatically. I do know that I'm aware of that part because I know that some of my students do use the calendar, mm-hmm. and I don't set anything up, but right. They can just go into their calendar and start looking at, you know, when is this next thing due or whatever that is, right?
Right, and it's very similar to how it works in the syllabus. The difference being that the syllabus is very linear, date and what's due, and the next date and what's due, versus this is looks like a calendar.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so does it do anything that on the calendar that does not show up in the syllabus? And let's clarify, just because some people might not be looking at this fully. In the syllabus, when you actually click on the syllabus button up on the left-hand side, then you can see the syllabus that you create, but down at the bottom, there's basically a list of all the assignments that you've published.
Correct. The moment you publish an assignment and put a due date on, the moment you publish an assignment, it automatically shows up in the syllabus. And when you put a due date on, it then ties it to that date. Same thing happens in the calendar. When you put a due date on any assignment and it's published, it automatically comes up shows up for the student, and by the way, for you as the teacher.
Right. Now, does Calendar do anything else that doesn't show up in syllabus?
Yes. So one of the nice parts is you can use it for the assignments. That's automatic. That's really easy, and it works really well.
Okay.
But you can also use it for events. So let's say you've got a speaker coming in, and you want to add an event that, hey, students, reminder that we've got a speaker on Friday or something like that. You could do that with an announcement. You could also do it in the calendar so it shows up. More so, we see teachers who want to give extra credit for attending a concert.
Okay.
Put the concert on there, and now every student has that reminder put in their calendar automatically. Now, it's not necessarily an assignment, but it's that reminder to the students of an event. So that one's really nice. You can also do appointment groups. So one of the things that I know a couple of teachers are using specifically here is they're setting up where students are going to be doing a presentation. They give them a 10-minute slot during their day, during their class, and the students can sign up for that, and they do that through the calendar itself. And so they sign up for exactly which slot they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to be the first speaker of the day, the fourth speaker of the day? And it allows the teacher to not have to pass around a sheet where people are signing up. It automatically does it. And if the student looks at it and says, oh, I can't do it that day, and wants to change it, the student handles all of that, and the teacher doesn't have to.
So, sorry, does this mean this is like a drag and drop for them? They can rearrange that for themselves, or they just need to go in and look for the spot that's open and just sign up for whichever one they want?
They look for the spot that's open, they click on it, and they can sign up for it, or if they've already signed up, they can unsign up and then sign up for another one.
Got it. Okay, now, briefly, can we go back to this events one? I'm interested in this. So could we drop, does it make a page of sorts? Can we make, like, can I put a flyer for it in there? Or can I put any, like, could I put images into this event that we create or that we say is available? Or is it just a simple text thing that says, you know, go to the concert? Or what are the options inside of creating those events?
So this is actually fairly simple. It's not as robust as the description that Canvas has,
mm-hmm.
That description field. So you can put links in. So you could have a page, for instance, in your class that event links to that page. So there's a URL there that they click on, and it takes them right to the page and pops up in front of them.
Okay.
You could have a file associated with it, different things like that. Whatever you want to do that way, it works pretty well for showing that. You can put a little bit of text in, but it's not a rich text editor. It's not as much as you'd really like.
Okay. But still being able to link right into a page that you make separately, or could you link to an announcement too?
You can link to an announcement. You can link to pretty much anything that you've got a URL and that you've got that in the class. So why would you even want to do something like this?
Mm-hmm.
Because you can also tie this directly. You can tie it, and the students can tie it directly into their Outlook or their mail program that handles a feed.
Oh, interesting.
So the nice part is when something gets updated, it can actually, so if they're using, for instance, Microsoft Outlook, it has the steps sitting there on the right-hand side. They just literally click on it, and they can do it themselves. You don't have to do it. But they can go through, attach that to their Outlook. Now they get all of the notices. They get reminders from their Outlook. So on their cell phone, on their computers, whatever that is, it can all be tied together, and now it can actually be even more robust.
So can you link it, just because you know where I'm going, can you also link it to Google Calendar?
Yes.
Okay.
And not only that, but you can link it to the online calendar that we provide all of the students through Microsoft Office 365.
Okay.
So when they link it to either Google or the Outlook through Office 365, either way, it will then populate to all of their devices that utilize that.
Hmm.
So yes, it's very nice for that part.
So now, thinking as a teacher, a lot of times, I actually am starting to see some value with this part, because I use a different calendar app. I use one called Fantastical on my phone and on my computer, but it's pretty robust, and it does pull in from all those other ones. So I'm assuming it probably could pull this in.
Yes.
To me, I see a lot of value in that, because I always forget, okay, wait, which assignments are due this week or next week? But it's like, okay, I'm going to have to go jump back in and log into Canvas again to go look at that. But if I could have that right on my calendar with two taps, that'd be pretty powerful.
Right. And the whole thing, like I was talking about, let's let the students be adults. Mm-hmm. Let's give them all of the stuff where they're going to use it so they only need to look one place.
Right. Let's let the teachers also be adults here.
Well, I'm trying to be nice.
Yeah, I could definitely use it.
But yeah, and that's part of why I thought it would be really good to bring that up here is because while we're trying to help and engage students and everything else, this is actually time management is one of the key features that we really need to make sure people come away from, from when they're in school.
Right, right. It is a major skill. And, you know, we do a whole units in my class, so I could see where that would be a good way to kind of help people understand it too.
Right. The other part for the individual is you can actually put to-dos in.
Okay.
If you want. So it's fairly robust, mm-hmm. For a simple calendar. But it allows you to even tie to-dos to a specific class. Because you can turn on and off individual classes and see what you're doing in that class, mm-hmm. when you're looking at the calendar.
Okay.
So
like maybe group meeting, like, hey, study session with my classmates on Saturday or something like that.
Absolutely. That's an event that is tied just to that one class. So if you've got two or three classes that are doing that, you as the teacher can see what all is going on. The students only see their class.
Now, can the students create their own to-dos for the class from their side, or only the teachers too?
No, the students have the ability to create the to-dos. They can create their own events. Now, it's for them. It's not going to publish back to the class.
So the teacher can't see what's going on there. If they start using it for private purposes, right? It doesn't publish out.
Right.
Okay, I can see that being problematic, so that's probably a smart choice. Okay, so anything else?
So, by the way, you can, in fact, create assignments directly through this you really want.
Okay, making assignments. Oh, yeah, I do know a couple teachers who do this. So instead of going through the modules or the assignments page, that they're going directly into the calendar, and they're basically laying it all out through the calendar.
Right. And I find it a little bit cumbersome and a little bit weird, mm-hmm. but... hey, there's another option for you if that's the way it's going to make sense. If you're looking at your calendar and you say, oh, that's right, on Thursday I need to have this due, you can click on Thursday, add an assignment, and right there in that class, create it right there out of the calendar itself.
Now,
you don't have to log into the class and all that. You've got it for that day.
Okay. However, I'm going to, for my own style of organization, it might be problematic, right?
I wouldn't be able to do it this way.
Yeah, because it would not drop it back into the modules.
Then you still have to add it to the module once you do that.
Okay,
yes.
Okay. But that's good to know.
Yep.
Okay. Am I missing anything? Is there anything else we need to add to this?
No, I think we've got a quick overview of it, and there's a lot of other information that's available. As always, you can Google mm-hmm. calendar in Canvas, and you'll find all kinds of information. But it's really a neat tool to think about and think about using, hopefully, in your class and for you.
Yeah, and introducing your students to as well.
Exactly.
Okay, so Tim, we are on to our new Zippy Tip, and I got a cool one for you. Today, I wanted to introduce one called Classroom Screen. Have you heard of this?
Not before we talked about it for this. No.
Ah, okay, so Classroom Screen, real quick. It is basically a browser-based whiteboard and really simple and easy to use. You just click right onto classroomscreen.com and you can write directly onto your computer screen, either by typing something up, so you can bring up a little text box and then type directly on it. So sometimes, you know, you want to type something on and it show on the projector, but you have to pull up, you know, a word processor in order to write a single sentence. This is a great solution for that, but you can also draw directly on it. It's got some other features in it, like a timer and, you know, like a noise indicator and a few different things, but really fast and convenient and super useful if you already have your projector running and the screen is ready to go, and you, especially if you're jumping into a little side, you know, like a little side lesson, oh, I have to explain this little idea real quickly in 2 or 3 minutes, and you don't have to create a whole new presentation for it, but you also want to keep your projector going and not freeze everything out and all those types of things.
Nice.
So classroomscreen.com, it's made by a teacher. It's free. I think they have now an option to, you know, send a couple dollars his way or something like that, but definitely worth checking out.
Nice. Today, we'll be continuing our series on engaging your students with quizzes by talking about Quizlet. So, Brent, what is Quizlet?
So, Quizlet is a little different than the other quizzing platforms that we've been talking about. We've talked about Kahoot, and we've talked about quizzes, and even Quizzes Next or Quizzes 2 in Canvas. But Quizlet is really more focused and based on flashcards than the other quizzes. So, if you think about it in terms of like building out a bunch of, you know, a big stack of flashcards like you would, you know, traditional old 3x5 index cards, you got a mm-hmm. bunch of flashcards. You can do this digitally inside of Quizlet. So you put, you know, maybe vocabulary, if you're thinking vocabulary, you put the vocabulary word on one side, you put the definition on the other side, and that's kind of the starting point for Quizlet. Now, I have to point out that I am not super familiar with it. It's kind of newer to me, but in the research and kind of leading up to this, you and I were both looking at it and we're like,
wow.
Yeah. we need to be more knowledgeable about this because there is some really cool stuff going on.
Absolutely. So before we get into it too much, we've talked a lot about teachers setting things up. This sounds like something that might be really useful actually for students. Can students do this as well?
Yes. So that's one of the big things with it. I was, again, going back to Twitter, I was on Twitter sharing with some of the teachers, and a former colleague of mine pointed out, so this is Mary Patton, and she's at Dr. M. Patton, ESOL. And she said, I have students make their own vocabulary logs using Quizlet, and I like it because it makes quizzes and flashcards so that they can practice at will. And so she's basically handing off the responsibility of the work and building everything to the students, which is
nice.
Brilliant. I mean, of course, like that's what we did when we were kids, you know, when we were making our own flashcards. It's like the teacher certainly didn't make it for us and hand it out to us, right?
No way.
And so it's really cool to just say, oh yeah, it makes sense for the students to be creating their own cards and their own decks, but then also to be able to share with each other and play games off of each other and, you know, see what other people are doing too.
Nice. So we've talked about they can create the flashcards, but you just mentioned that they can play games.
Yeah.
What is that?
Okay, so, and I might not speak perfectly here, so bear with me, and please go in and explore for yourselves as you're listening to the show, but from what I understand, there are two different sections of the way that that Quizlet works. The first section is based on the kind of the flashcards thing. So you make some flashcards, and then you have some different options for how to test yourself on those flashcards. So starting with traditional flashcards, right? One side, the other side, see the word, see the answer, see the word, whatever it is, okay? That's really standard. And then you can go into this activity called Learn. And Learn, basically, it runs through a different set, some number of flashcards. And after you get the answer correct, I think, two times, then it puts it into the learned pile. So it will... it'll pull out through an algorithm and it'll just bring them up randomly. And then if you get it right, it'll say it's right. And if you don't get it right, then it puts it back into the not learned pile and then it's going to cycle through. So you can kind of work through those kind of, those memory tricks that it's like, oh, I've seen this word before. I recognize it. It's going to go into the learned pile. Then you also have the write option. So on one side is a hint and then you have to write in the answer to answer the hint. So if it's a vocabulary on one side, you might actually type out the definition. And then if it says, hey, what you typed out is correct, then you've got it. If it didn't type it out correctly, then it'll say, no, try again. Or maybe it'll cycle it back through.
Nice. It's nice that it seems to be automatic, that you don't have to do it yourself.
It is, yeah. So you can actually go in and test it for yourself, too. So any teacher, anybody can just go log in and give it a test and see what these things are like. So it's pretty convenient to test and check. After write, then, is spell. So spell is, are you spelling the words correctly, right? And so The sample that I was running with was state capitals or states and state capitals, right? So are you spelling Connecticut right? And, you know, then you type in the word. And then the nice thing is that it speaks it out to you as well. So when you're, you know, if you're checking the spelling of a word, then it will actually say the spelling as it tells you the letters too. So that could really help out a lot of students who are kind of working in the different modalities and want to hear and see at the same time and then check their own spelling for those.
I might have actually been good at spelling if I could do that.
Yeah.
That was my worst class when I was in school. So that sounds really cool. And so this is part of Learn. Is there anything else that's part of Learn? I mean, not that that's not enough.
Yeah, and then you can actually go in and do the testing. So just testing straight out, you know, checking your knowledge. And I think, and again, like I said, please go check for yourself, but I think that this is holistic, so based on the entire deck. So however many you make for that category, you're going to test yourself and see how well you know everything.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's kind of the first part of it. But the part that gets really cool is the switch for this engagement part. Both you and I are looking at this as we're kind of setting up, and it's like, oh, wow, there's a lot going on here.
that was a huge wow moment. Yes.
So so for those who have not looked at this before, we want to kind of share about this idea of the engagement and how it can engage students. So right off the bat, the first game that you can look at is called Matching, right? And this one's pretty, you know, it's fun. You find the two cards that match each other and you drag one over the other one. You say that these two belong. So maybe it's, you know, in the example that I did, it's a map of, you know, a map of the United States with one of the states highlighted and then the name of the capital city, and you would drag it over so that they match up with each other. Okay. And they disappear as you're going through that, right? So cool. Very, you know, it could be useful for sure. It's not the super fun one, but it's definitely practice.
It's a whole lot better than sitting there trying to remember them off the top of your head.
Right. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But it does encourage you to remember. So it's great.
Correct. Excellent. Yes. So then second is the one called Gravity, and this is kind of like an asteroids type of game where it actually is an asteroid. It puts you into like a space field, and then an asteroid with your vocabulary word comes dropping down from the top of the screen, and then you have to type either the hint or the answer, depending on which side of the card it's supposed to be showing, and then that blows up the asteroid so that you're still safe, right? So... Nice. Again, just kind of a little bit of a game-based version of this. So just kind of a way to go through the words. And then it also is checking your timing. So how fast are you blowing up these asteroids and how quickly are you moving through everything? So so you can challenge yourself again after you've seen how fast and how quickly you got through it and say, hey, I want to do this faster. I think I know I'm better than before.
Nice.
Here's the cool one. Quizlet Live. Okay. So... much like our other quizzing platforms that we talked about where, hey, I'm going to project the things up onto the screen and the students are going to use their phones and talk through try and answer on their phones whatever the answer to the question is. But here, what it does is it blasts out to all the different phones a selection of possible answers, and all of the phones are different. So let me break this down to you properly. Let's imagine that you have 24 kids in your class, okay? So maybe you're going to have six different teams of four people each, and it's going to randomly select as it blasts out this code to the class. It's going to say, hey, you're on team A, you're on team B, you're on team C, you're on team D, whatever, all the way to up to E and F, right? So then those students have to go find their teammates who they didn't know who they were before. They're randomly selected. So they run around the room and they go find who their teammates are. Then the questions start coming up. But the possible choices for the answers are not all on one phone. They're across all four phones on the team.
Okay.
So the team then can't just randomly push a button on their one. No individual can randomly push a button on their phone. They have to all agree together. Hey, it's not on my phone. It's on your phone. You have to be the one to tap the answer so that we can get the points and win this as a team.
Nice.
So this is super collaborative, right?
Yeah.
When you're dealing with Kahoot, it's like, hey, this is on my phone. I'm kind of racing alone. And it's a, you know, winner takes all type of thing.
Right.
But here you really have to collaborate and agree with each other. Otherwise, if someone's too ambitious and they just tap on their own phone, they're going to, you know, crush the rest of the team.
Well, and by crush the rest of the team, what happens if somebody does answer it wrong?
So if they answer it wrong, then you're going to see a basically a race board that projects up onto the projector, and the whole team slides back. So you need to get a certain amount of number of answers correct in a row, and you'll see like a little, you know, your team A, B, C, D, E, F, whatever, moving forward across the race screen, and you're trying to get to the finish line. But if you get it wrong, you go back, right? You go, and I think we went all the way back to the beginning. So you have to get however many questions correct in a row, but you're working with your team in order to get those.
Nice.
So really highly collaborative, really, you know, ensures that the students all kind of agree on what they're working on. And it's not just like the champ or, right, you know, whatever it is, no ringers in this one, because they all have to say, no, there's a reason why we're making our choice. And we all are we're all considering this equally.
Right.
That's, you know, it's such a cool thing. I was so stoked when I saw that. I definitely want to play with it in my class and see how my students react to it. Mm-hmm. Because as soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, that's kind of like the missing link there in some of those things. Because it's, as much as I like the other quizzing forms, and there's a lot of benefit to them, and again, depending right on your purposes, but if I want to get my classmates working together, I think this is where I'm going to be headed.
It makes sense. So it sounds like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like all of this is based on the person, the student, the teacher, whoever it is, creating the initial set of flashcards.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And all of this comes off of that. So it's not that you have to create these games for the students. This is designed around somebody creates the flashcards and all of this other stuff comes.
Right.
And how expensive is this?
There is free. You don't have to pay anything right off the bat, and then you have some sort of paid versions too that give you all the premium, freemium type of things that lets you do some tracking and all those things. I think it's about $3 a month if you're really into it and if you're wanting to use it, and that'll let you do things like customizing some of your images and your audio, more rich text formatting. I think you can only have 8 classes if you're on the free version. And so in my case, I don't have 8 classes, and every semester I could close one down and open it up again. But, you know, definitely there are some people that are going all over the place. Right. And then there's just other details. And also I would say it might be worth it just because of the advertising. There are ads on the platform. And so if you pay for it, I think you can remove ads for your students as well. So kind of depending on what those ads look like, it might be worth doing.
Interesting. So the students could, though, set up their own flashcards for free.
For free, yeah.
Nice, nice. So the question that we always have to ask is, does this integrate with Canvas or another LMS?
And my answer is going to continue to be the same for this, not as far as I know right now. And again, you don't necessarily need to, because you can just punch the code in. I continue to recommend this as a low stakes formative work. So, hey, let's just get some ideas going. Let's start sharing and thinking and processing these things. And I wouldn't necessarily use it as a way to do a summative check.
Makes sense. Makes sense. Thank you for listening today. In this episode, we talked about Canvas Calendar and continued our series on quizzing by talking about Quizlet. For more information about this show, please visit our website at thehigheredtechpodcast.com. There you will find our podcast and links to information covered. Please listen next time when we finish our quizzing series by talking about GimKit and talk to Cheryl Bailey, the IVC librarian and Online Education Task Force co-coordinator.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. That'll be cool. That'll be your first interview, too.
Yes.
All right. So as always, we want your feedback. So please go to thehigheredtechpodcast.com and let us know your thoughts. If you have any ideas for future shows, there's a link on that page that you can give us our topic ideas.
For everyone at IVC that's listening, if you need help with technology questions, please contact IVC Technical Support at extension 5696. If you have questions about technology in your classroom, please contact me, Tim Van Norman, at tvannorman, VanNorman, at ivc.edu.
And if you want to reach out to me about the show, you can find me on Twitter or Instagram at Brent G. Warner.
I'm Tim Van Norman.
And I'm Brent Warner. And we hope this episode has helped you on the road from possibility to actuality. Have a good day.